The Shortcode Podcast is a proud member of the MedEd Media Network. Inspiration, information, and guidance on your journey to medical school and beyond at mededmedia.com.
Meandering in the margins of medicine, it's the Shortcode Podcast.
Weird news,
fresh views,
helpful clues, and interviews
by students for students.
Subscribe to our weekly show at theshortcoat.com.
Welcome back to the Shortcoat Podcast, a production of the University of Iowa Carver College of Medicine. I'm Dave Etler. On the mic with me today is MD PhD student Aline Sanduk. Aline has mastered the basics of medicine in the health department. She graduated in the number of years in medicine that is determined by her exam results. Aline is very powerful, and her skills as a medical student have proven so much in the field of medicine that people view her as the greatest female doctor in the country. M1 Nathan Spitz has iced the art of much cheaper clothing before. Welcome, Nathan.
What's shaking?
He tells us that he just finished a digital clothesline produced with Photoshop. We can't wait to see what he can come up with next. Perhaps a great life-sized image of an awesome monster shaking a bedpan in the dark. Or maybe a 20-foot tall waterfall. Or a snake that can spit fire. Whatever his next path. There is one thing that is certain. The grotesquery will always keep hanging around and will get bigger, stronger, and happier.
Amen to that.
M1 Morgan Kennedy is back with a new album. Hello, Morgan.
Hello.
Future Medicine is a self-reflective album. It's a distillation of growing up in a white suburb, on-campus aspirations, and the challenges of being a woman in the medical profession. Hear her talk about it today and learn how you can tell your partner your fears and worries and have them help you have a relationship of your own. You can visit her blog, You Are Here, and read more about her experiences, right?
You got it.
I missed that Grammy nom.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, clearly the neural network I used to write the intro to today's show is up to the task. Got to keep that in my back pocket.
I was like, did you invent time travel and then used it in the lamest way possible to look at my future? That's ridiculous. You don't deserve to have time.
Oh, the things I waste my time on when I'm writing, I'm writing the show. You have no idea. Like, you read these things like, oh, it's funny. It's composed by a neural network, blah, 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 blah. It literally takes like way longer to do this than you would expect. Lots of copying and pasting, lots of, you know, redoing. Anyway. Hey, before we get started, Aline, how much adhesive-based fun have you been having lately?
Not enough.
No?
You know.
No? Mm-mm. Well, I have for you. For everybody listening to the show today, I have stickers for sale over at theshortcoat.com/store. Do you want to see them?
Let's do it.
Love to.
All right. Give me a second. I wasn't prepared.
In the meantime.
Right, he wasn't prepared for us to see the thing that he's trying to
see. I think you want to see him.
You can also look on the website for my new clothing line.
Yeah.
Featuring snakes that spit fire.
Here they are. We've got a bunch of these 4-inch round stickers. These are high quality.
Oh, classy.
Cool.
High quality stickers. Here's another one.
High quality is right.
Very shiny. Yeah. Well, only the shiniest for my listeners.
Indeed.
One of them I'm calling the electric brain burger, and the other I'm thinking of it as the value sticker. If you want to take a look at them, I'm not going to go into it more than that. You got to go to theshortcoat.com/store to pick these up real cheap. And the proceeds for the sale of these stickers will go to the Patient Advocate Foundation. That's a national nonprofit that provides direct case management services and financial assistance to patients and caregivers who need the help. These include helping people navigate the healthcare system, working with healthcare providers, payers, and employers to assure that patients have access to affordable care, financial and copay assistance, and teaching self-advocacy to patients and caregivers. I think this is something that we on the podcast can get behind. So let's get behind it.
Let's do it.
you want to discuss why it's important?
Yes. Right now.
Why is it important? Why are we going to get behind this, Aline?
Nathan?
Morgan, back to you.
It's a great cause.
Yeah. This is one of the big problems we have in healthcare in this country. The inability to pay and the inability to access healthcare when you can't pay. And so that's what these people do. They have, over the last 20 years, provided millions and millions of dollars of assistance to patients in this country. And I think it's a wonderful thing that you're doing. So
I agree.
Hats off to you guys.
Dave, I have a confession to make.
Yeah.
You You caught me daydreaming just then.
Yeah.
My thoughts were somewhere else. And then you were like, Aline. And I just like sat back to reality. And I was like, totally. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, exactly good. That. Whatever it is you were just saying, I'm on board with completely.
Excellent. Well, you know, that's what I prefer to hear from you people.
Obedience.
Yeah, just straight obedience.
I do recall seeing you posting about that on the Facebook page.
Oh, well, it's nice that you pay attention.
I didn't read it. I'm sorry. I saw it. When you said it, I was like, yep, I've seen that.
This is fantastic. Hey, on the day this show comes out, it's Thanksgiving in the United States of America.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah. And since... And since many listeners are either anticipating a turkey-centered meal or recovering from one, let me say that I hope you're having a fantastic Thanksgiving, listeners. Last week, you guys enjoyed the annual CCOM Thanksgiving feast, right?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah. How was it? I usually am like drooling over what I don't really get to eat because, you know, I'm not invited.
It was cooked by everybody's favorite grandma. Hy-Vee.
Grandma Hy-Vee. Did, you know, have all the trimming?
I am not going to lie. I was not there. That is the one day that I have not had one single required thing since I've started medical school.
But you didn't come in even
I know,
for the food?
I was
what
going
kind of
to.
Medical student
I know.
Are you?
I was going to. I got new kittens this week. So
really?
I stayed home with them. But I was so torn. I was like, do I make the 20-minute drive since I live in North Liberty to come for this free meal and pay for parking to eat the free meal? Mm. Or do I just stay at home?
Can we get a name drop on the kittens?
Linda and Janet.
Wow, that's adorable.
Those are some super basic names. Love
well,
it.
No one our age is going to have those names, I can guarantee it.
Fluff. Thank you.
Yeah.
So why did you eschew things like Fluffy and Snookums?
I don't know. They just came to us and it was kind of a joke. Like, what would some terrible cat names be? And we were just joking around. We were like, no, actually, it's Linda and Janet. No.
Yeah.
We actually are not sure if they're girls, though. So... things could get interesting.
Gender is a social construct.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially for cats.
But they love their names.
When the plumbing is Linda all on the Gina. Inside. Well, that's good. That's wonderful.
You know, there's something to be said about the awkwardness that comes from like meeting someone's pets and being like, oh, they have my name. This is going to be weird forever. Yeah. But I haven't met a Janet or a Linda like under 30.
Well,
in
we
a
have
long
two
time.
Lindas. We have two Lindas in OSAC, so you can tell them that you named
your in their honor. Yeah. In their honor.
In their honor. Yes.
They both work in the financial services department.
They're awesome, by the way.
I'll
we objectively
the
like them.
And, bring them on by.
They're the people who are, you know, who are encouraging you not to spend money on things like cats and cat food.
Right.
So, you know, fail.
I'll be really happy for me. They're the reason I'm not giving back any of my student loans.
Yeah, that email came out this week, didn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Students, time to pay back your loans. And I looked at it and went.
Yeah. Well, not pay back your loans.
Back any portion you didn't use. Yes, that's true. Thank you for keeping me active.
Yes, let's not talk about paying back loans until we absolutely have to.
All right. Can I ask a person? Do you think anybody think they might pay back a portion? Well, you don't have to worry about this. Do you think you might be in a position to pay back a portion of your loan?
Oh, you mean give them back?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I will. I can talk a little bit about that. So they, at least for me, like in the first semester, they give you, I think, almost like $6,000 in books and supplies. This includes like almost $3,000 for a laptop, like stethoscope, et cetera. And I'm sure you've heard this on the show before, but you really only need your stethoscope in the first semester. So I spent like $100 on that and I haven't bought any books, like Plug for Carver for having a lot of the books online for free.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So there's quite a bit of untapped cash that I should.
Unless you've bought kittens, you should definitely.
Yeah. So I tried to do it on the like front end of that. I tried to do like a really comprehensive like budgeting of like what I was going to use and what I would need and what I didn't need. And so I just asked for less than I thought. Uh-huh. And I still thought I might be able to give some back, but I also have not done any kind of overview on how much I've been spending thus far or where I'm at with that. So that's one of my plans for this upcoming break is to kind of figure out what's going on.
Maybe there'll be a Thanksgiving miracle.
There might be.
and you'll be in good shape.
Maybe I'll have extra money to buy toys for Linda and Janet.
They don't need toys. Cats can make a toy out of anything, can't they? They're like babies. You don't need to buy babies toys, and you don't need to buy cats.
I have heard that about a lot of cat owners, that like they'll buy a really fancy schmancy toy and then the cat's more interested in the box or right. like the paper it came in. Yeah. Yeah. What's in the box?
Well, I'm looking forward to Thanksgiving week. I don't get the entire week off like some people, but I basically get the entire week off because none of y'all are going to be here.
Yeah.
And so I will be, I and the other people in OSAC who choose to remain will be rattling around this building.
If you guys don't take advantage of our absence to roller skate down the hallways, I'm going to be pretty upset.
Oh,
that's what I would do.
That's a good idea. You'll come back and you'll find like half of OSAC has broken hips.
This is good.
What are those like swerve streaks that you see on the road where someone clearly breaks it very hard? Yeah, skid marks.
There'll be a Dave-shaped hole in the glass in one of the communities.
I'm imagining like the big like Dawn dish soaps and you just squirt it down the hallway.
The possibilities are endless.
That's really good. I'll bring this up at the next meeting.
Get on it.
Do you have are there traditional Thanksgiving Day activities that you do in your fams?
Eat like an uncomfortable amount where I'm like unbuttoning my pants and then sleeping for like 3 hours afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm Canadian, so Thanksgiving in Canada is a month early.
It is, yeah.
So on this day in Canada, I would be doing absolutely nothing different.
Right.
But on Canadian Thanksgiving, it's just like, it's a nice opportunity just to be together with people. And there's like this big cultural joke of like Thanksgiving fights and like having to put up with people's different political opinions and being like, why do I come here every year? But I don't know, for the most part, it seems like a pleasant time of like food and joy and Thanksgiving.
I didn't include any of those jokes in today's show.
Oh, okay. wink, wink, wink.
That you can see those. Yeah. See those winks.
I got to rewrite portion of the show today. What about you guys? Are there traditional activities?
Not really activities. I typically spend Thanksgiving just with my like immediate family of four, and this year we are going to our extended family, and it's going to be a really big celebration, and it'll be nice to be around everyone that I haven't seen in a while. But no real traditions other than
eating. Thanksgiving Day drinking?
That is not discouraged.
Bye.
Not frowned upon. Yeah,
I would not say no to that.
Well, you know, yesterday was the Office of Student Affairs and Curriculum monthly birthday lunch. And as we ate and chatted, the topic of Thanksgiving, of course, came up. And that led to the topic of Thanksgiving Day drinking. A few people noted that their families were Thanksgiving Day drinkers, which I thought was funny. Just to put OSAC on blast there.
There you go. Putting on blast.
Anyway, it reminded me of a case report that was sent to me by listener Justin a while back. Thank you, Justin. It's a case of auto brewery syndrome. Mm-hmm. A rare condition in which the gut microbiome converts carbohydrates to ethanol, which sounds actually, I mean, you know, there's a joke there to be made, like, ooh,
there's a lot of jokes to be made, yeah.
But it sounds horrible. A previously healthy middle-aged male presented with a 6-year history of memory loss, mental changes, and episodes of depression following a course of antibiotics. He'd been referred to a psychiatrist, treated with lorazepam, fluoxetine, and
They really threw the medicine cabinet.
I assume these things are not great to be on when you're under the influence of alcohol.
Yeah, that's either. Like a direct like contraindication on SSRIs. You're like not supposed to.
Yeah. 100%. He was arrested at some point he was arrested for driving while intoxicated. His BAC was 200 milligrams per deciliter. That's more than twice the legal limit. He denied drinking any alcohol, but of course nobody believed him because he was trashed.
Did his breath smell like alcohol?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I'm wondering if like that's a behavioral, you know, that
I imagine it couldn't have. Yeah.
The balance test
could have, I guess. I mean, it's all.
If he was blowing. Yeah. If he was.
He must have been blowing alcohol. Well, it was probably a blood test, though. I don't think he refused a breathalyzer.
Oh, OK. All right.
So don't know. Stool samples yielded Saccharomyces. I practiced this before the show. Saccharomyces cerevisiae, brewer's yeast, in addition to normal bacteria. He was given a carbohydrate meal, and after 8 hours, his BAC was just below the legal limit of 57 milligrams per DLL. Wow.
What did he do? Like eat a packet of it and just like colonize?
I don't know. I don't.
How did it get in there?
I don't think anybody really, really knows. I wonder if can you get it from drinking beer?
How do you contract?
Yeah.
That's a great question. This actually came up in our CBL, our last CBL case. I don't know if it did in yours, Nathan. We had a patient who came into the emergency room and had a blood alcohol level of, I don't remember what, and lactate in the blood and all of these indicators that the patient had been drinking, and he kept telling the physician that he wasn't drinking. And I had seen this article as well. And so I kept saying, well, maybe he has out-of-brewery syndrome. And it became kind of a joke where, you know, it was pretty obvious that he had been using alcohol, and I just kept being like, but he keeps telling us that he's not, you guys, like, we need to rule this out. And so someone did kind of a little bit of research on that to bring to our group. And it was really interesting, and they don't really understand why, like, the BAC is so high, but they don't have the same behavioral effects. Like, they can, you know, drive, function, communicate, carry on interviews.
I suppose if it's long term enough, you could have habituated to your own ethanol production.
So. But it's just crazy. Yeah. And we didn't talk about where it comes from or how you get this or, yeah, it's just very interesting.
Grey's Anatomy did have an episode with this on there. I mean, I know everybody.
The great educator, Grey's Anatomy.
Right. It's real.
Love
that's
it.
That's why I think that's probably, I mean, I don't know why else I really would have known much about this, but thank you, Grey's Anatomy, for coming in and again.
Richard Weber, yep. Leading the way.
He was treated with antifungals, which were initially successful, but there were several relapses, including one severe one after he, unbeknownst to his doctors, ate pizza and soda against medical advice. Finally, he was treated with an intravenous antifungal for 6 weeks, which I guess did the trick because he remains asymptomatic after a year and a half, returning to his normal diet. So amazing. There you go. Seems like a zebra to me, but something to keep in mind when people show up at the emergency room.
After a day of drinking.
After Thanksgiving Day. Yeah. Like, what if?
Yeah, I'm getting the impression that these bacteria may be commensal in our guts, but they just don't over-colonize. Then you have a disruption, and then they can kind of take hold. And then when
initial course of antibiotics that he had, I guess he'd had some sort of traumatic injury to his thumb. And so he was on a course of antibiotics. And after that, probably killed off some of his gut microbiome and allowed the good stuff to take over.
I didn't realize Saccharomyces were commensal.
Yeah.
Or was commensal. Well, that's interesting.
Lots of stuff in there. Mm. Well, look, when Uncle Hector inevitably gets a fireplace poker across his bean this week after his comments about Greta Thunberg, he might be grateful for the fact that doctors in the U.S., have placed humans in suspended animation for the first time in order to treat otherwise fatal traumas. Mm. The news sites are calling it suspended animation anyway. But the medically preferred term is emergency preservation and resuscitation. Mm. Testing on patients coming to the University of Maryland Medical Center in Baltimore with an acute trauma, like a gunshot or a stab wound, and are in cardiac arrest are among those in the trial. Criteria for inclusion also included that the heart will have stopped beating and they will have lost more than half their blood. So with only minutes to operate, with less than a 5% chance that they would survive. This is amazing if it works. The problem is that we don't know if anybody has survived. According to what I've read, the doctors haven't said that yet. So we'll see.
Also, done on Grey's Anatomy.
I was going to say, not to bring up Grey's Anatomy again.
But to do it.
But
also done on the late 90s, the late 90s movie Flatliners.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
Wow, that's a deep cut.
They had some sort of transparent blanket with lit up tubes in them to make it all science-y.
Right. I think in the article I read, like, the physician had some reason or something that like sparked this idea, and I wanted to be like, no, you definitely saw us on Grey's Anatomy. Yeah.
Cite your sources. Of, yeah. Yeah, cite your sources. An interesting, like, ethical, how they like the inclusion criteria.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I think if I understood it right, you had to go on to a specific website to opt out.
Right.
If you were potentially life threatening.
There were meetings held so that, you know, to sort of get the information out. Of course, not everybody's going to hear about it anyway, but you could decide to opt out. But the FDA was okay with it because these people were going to die anyway. And with current technology, it just wasn't going to work. There wasn't enough time to operate on them and repair the damage.
It's pretty amazing, actually. It's pretty ingenious.
I mean, what they do is they, right, I mean...
They're basically cooling the entire body down.
How do they do it?
So, from what I read, they lower the temperature of the body and then replace all of your blood with cold saline. And
that's the craziest part to me.
I was going to say, so that is shocking in and of itself. But in principle, if your body temperature is lower than 37, then your demand for oxygen and nutrients and things like that is also diminished. And then they move you to the operating room, and then instead of having minutes to operate on you, they have
2 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's phenomenal.
Yeah. So they want to compare 10 patients who received EPR with 10 who would have been eligible for treatment under this trial. So the same, you know, the control is the same population. Animal studies showed pigs with acute trauma can be cooled for 3 hours and then resuscitated. Pigs are often used as a proxy for humans
especially for heart
trials.
Stuff. Yeah.
But then, you know, of course, the other problem that they run into is that as the body cells are warmed up, they can experience reperfusion injuries, which I don't quite know what that is.
That usually when people talk about that, they're talking about stroke. So when you clear the clot, then... I'm not sure. I'm going to stop talking right now and Google it real quick.
Well, that's okay. You know, there's more damage occurs the longer they go without oxygen. I think if I remember correctly, what you find out, let me know what you find out, but I think reperfusion injuries refers to, swelling of the tissues that can happen when they are rehydrated reperfused with blood too quickly.
That would make sense if they become like dehydrated, kind of shrivel, and then you pump them like back up.
Right.
Right. I wonder what the speed of that.
Yeah. You got to bring them up.
Blood is, yeah.
Bring them up slow, basically. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What I remembered and didn't want to say in case I was wrong was the damage that results from like when you do start putting blood into that area, an area that's accustomed to being starved of oxygen now has a lot of, so there's a lot of oxidative damage, like a lot of free radical damage, but. The absence of oxygen and nutrients from blood during the ischemic period creates a condition which is restricted. Blah, blah, blah. Maybe cut this out where I'm just sitting here bullshitting.
Okay. Hey, I said all sorts of stupid shit about swelling, apparently.
I also think like the opting out thing is super interesting. I mean, even though they have more time once they do this to operate, it seems like this is a decision and this is something that probably needs to be started really quickly. And so I'm wondering, like, who's running over to the computer to check this opt-out database to make sure that the patients haven't opted out, and how many people have opted out? It's just, that's a super interesting method.
Yeah, they have to have had this, like, really well planned out. Right? Like, okay, you know, Frank, it's your job to search the database and do not make a typo.
You can probably do it in the ambulance, right?
You're probably right. And then... Yeah, and I also thought it was interesting that they said, like, the patients that were not receiving this treatment were due to the fact that they didn't have the correct team in place there. So it's, like, a very specific team. So maybe the person that can search it is not there that day.
And yeah.
Like, can't go on.
Can't do it.
Frank had the day off. Yeah. Sorry. No cute, cool, futuristic light-up blanket for you.
Unfortunately.
Well, as you look across the table at Great Aunt Marna today, she expounds on how cute House Intelligence Committee ranking member Devin Nunes is and how you look just like him. Remember.
How dare you look at me when you say that? I do not look like a middle-aged man.
I've been meaning to talk to you about your beauty regimen.
Your striking likeness.
Striking likeness.
So whatever it is you're doing, just stop. Okay. Stop immediately.
News websites are claiming that scientists have found the missing link of cellular immortality between pond scum and humans. Not that anyone in that in these previous sentences is pond scum. I just want to point that out to our listeners. Nobody is pond scum. Least of all, House Intelligence Committee ranking member.
We're going to get
Aunt Myrna
about that.
Now. Aunt Myrna is definitely not. Anyway, okay. I'm going to try to explain this essentially to myself because I didn't understand a lot of this. This is like the limit of Dave's ability to describe things. Here we go. Cellular aging is governed at least in part by telomeres, which are repeating sequences of DNA located at the ends of chromosomes in eukaryotes. Mm-hmm. That is animals, pretty much, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We're following.
Good. Each time a cell reproduces, some of the telomere's repeats are lost, making the offspring cells more fragile than the previous generation of cells. Yep.
Keep going.
Nailed it, Dave.
Okay.
Yep.
So telomeres represent an aging countdown, right? The number of times the cell can divide successfully, also known as the Hayflick limit.
Oh, I never heard that term.
Yeah. Keep learning me.
All right. The degeneration is inhibited by telomerase RNA, an enzyme protein coupled with an RNA molecule. The RNA molecule is the template for the telomere's repeated DNA section.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Okay.
I know more than you? Sweet.
Yeah, I think you've now transitioned into the territory where I'm like, yeah, sure, all right.
Basically, telomerase RNA slows the aging clock. I need some, please, somebody give me some telomerase RNA, mother of God. Slows the aging clock by replacing the telomere's repeating sequences, adding in those DNA repeats, even as cell replication takes them away. Now, plants like algae have telomerase RNA too. Telomerase? It's not even a word anymore in my brain.
Telomerase. Yeah, telomerase.
It's not even a word. I can't even look at the word and say it anymore. Plants like algae have telomerase RNA too, and it has some features. It shares some features with human telomerase. So that's the new discovery. Okay. CNN and other news outlets are calling this a breakthrough in aging research for reasons I do not understand at all, based on this article and the article from the university's, what do they call them? Marketing and communications department.
You just explained it pretty well.
Yeah. But why is it a breakthrough?
Oh.
We know all this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The breakthrough is like the link. The breakthrough that they're talking about is the link between plant telomerase and humans. Like, okay, now we know that plant telomerase and human telomerase have an evolutionary pathway in common, right? That's the breakthrough. And these websites are like, oh, it's a breakthrough in aging research.
Well, maybe what they failed to mention in the article is like, homology between human telomerase and then whatever this plant species telomerase is.
Explain what homology is.
Like maybe there's like minimal variation between the plant version of this enzyme and our version, and then that could be a form of gene therapy in the future. Because maybe there's something regulating our telomerases, like a regulatory mechanism that prevents it from acting to restore telomeres that's absent in plants.
Well, I did note that, you know, I had to look up, like, one of the things that occurred to me is like, well, do we all have, is there telomerase in our bodies all the time? And, you know, why isn't that, you know, already doing something for us? And I learned that telomerase is not present in most body cells, with the exception of germ cells and stem cells and cancer cells. So the cancer thing, there's an important use there, probably.
Yeah, that's part of the way people will immortalize cells and make a cell line is by, I think, transducing them with telomerase so that they basically can replicate forever. But I don't, not knowing anything else about it, that's kind of where my brain is going, is like, oh, this is an enzyme we need more of to prolong the life scale of cells. So, and if it's not present already, then maybe it's a form of gene therapy that they're working on.
Yeah. I guess you just have to make sure that it's like specific to non-cancerous
cells.
So, you know, if you just inject all sorts of telomerase, you're going
to
like
cancer head to toe.
You live forever.
Riddled with tumors.
Oh, okay. I was going the other way. I thought it was.
You don't want all of your cells all over your body to live forever. That's bad.
This is a superhero origin story right here, right? You know, he ran into the back of a tanker truck filled with telomerase and it splashed all over him. And now he's some sort of
cancer riddled.
He became a baby.
I'm baby.
It's exactly how it works, actually.
Super baby.
That's a real life Benjamin Button syndrome.
Right. Yeah.
That's what he was taking baths in. I'm thinking of that bath scene. He's getting doused in.
Oh, you better believe Elon Musk has a bath full of telomerase, you know?
Yeah.
He's all like, oh, this is great. Gonna be young forever.
You know, I know you're joking, but like, he does have the means.
Right.
He does have the resources. Right. Also, if you look at pictures of him now compared to like pictures when he first started out.
Oh.
Yeah, he looks
Yeah. Okay. Picking up what you're putting down.
Not you. No, we're talking about Elon Musk.
I know.
Well, clearly not me. All right. Well, no, no, no. That's not. You sounded like you were like shushing me because Elon Musk sponsors the show or something. Yeah.
SpaceX.
I did forget to mention that SpaceX is now a sponsor of the Short Code Podcast, not a sponsor.
Well, now you can have your own telomerase. Just go find that pond scum.
Yeah.
Put it in your bathtub.
True. Take a drink.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a story we talked about on the show like a few episodes ago about why did my brain go here? A person who injected their own ejaculate into their arm to cure back pain.
Yes.
So my first thought was like, yeah, find yourself some pond scum, put it in your DIY poop transplant blender, you know, and then inject it into your arm and then you'll live forever.
I'll take care of your auto brewer syndrome and your and your
back pain
and all kinds of shit. Yeah.
We should be careful because someone's going to do that and then we're going to get sued. Yeah.
If you do this, we are not responsible, but do write into the show to tell us how it went.
Document everything.
Yeah. Write it down. That's science. That's all that you really need for science is just to write some stuff down.
Keep a notebook.
Yeah. I'm going to commission somebody to write a browser plugin that replaces the word breakthrough with some other phrase.
Okay.
Because this is the most misused word in science reporting. That way the CNN health headline would have read something like tiny bit of new information that is probably not at all an actual breakthrough discovery in plants' DNA might lead to slowing the aging process in humans, instead of breakthrough discovery in plants' DNA. Stop it. I don't need that. I don't need that clickbait triggering us.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't need that clickbait in my life.
Yeah. Breakthrough is a very stimulating word. Mm-hmm. It kind of implies something more than what they usually mean it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, kind of getting into like maybe a bigger conversation too. I feel like that kind of, like trigger wording, like really catches the attention of a lot of people on a lot of various subjects that's used. And they're maybe not from reputable sources, but people that have access to these kinds of articles will believe these things. And that makes science and healthcare a little bit tricky.
For sure. Very sensationalist. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think we need to do a survey of the clickbait that we individually get, because I'm pretty sure that the algorithmic mind of the internet is probably presenting us with different things.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe I get all this anti-aging research because Google knows that I'm 49, you know, and you get, I don't know what
auto brewery things.
Yeah, right.
Because they know.
That's true. I'm assuming I'm assuming Justin, who submitted that, is a young man.
Yeah, that's
so maybe and I guess an alcoholic. I don't know, but maybe we're just getting different things.
What does it say about me that I get a lot of like murder mystery clickbait things?
Yeah.
Deciphering the mind of a murderer. That can go one of two ways. I'm going to assume you're
a detective.
Let's go with that.
Yeah.
Let's go with that.
How to cheat the system. Like, I'll never know now.
The other one I get is doctors, the one vegetable doctors beg their patients to remove from their diet. Do you guys get this one?
No.
See?
No.
I knew it.
What is it?
I don't know. Every time I click on it, and I do click on that motherfucker.
It's not because you're
different
old.
Thing.
It's because all of your searches have like a health focus. That's probably why. Let's go with that. That's probably why.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. I feel better. I've talked many times on the show about how I'm susceptible to clickbait, and I guess
we all are. That's how it works.
The hive mind.
You're not special. Yeah, you're not special, Dayton.
What's your clickbait? What clickbait do you get, Nathan?
Ooh.
I'm going to guess. Okay, let me see if I can guess. I'm going to guess celebrity-based clickbait.
Oh my God, how'd you know? Yeah, I'm like a huge E-news.
I get that too. Okay.
So see, it's ubiquitous. Yeah. We're not special.
Do you guys get celebrity-based clickbait? Yes. Like, here's what they look like now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I get that, too.
13 marriages that ended in 2019.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you're, like, so disappointed in yourself every time you click
every
on it.
Time. But not yeah. before I click through at least right. 20 slides.
And then those are the worst ones where you have to individually click to each individual
Monsters.
Slide.
Right.
Monsters.
What is this, a PowerPoint?
And yeah. they
and there's like no opt-out ads that immediately yeah. start playing. And you're like, what is, and you have 20 tabs open and you don't know which one has the ad.
Can we just go to the slide that pertains to the original thing
yes.
I clicked on that had the yeah. the guy from that movie Mask?
Just tell
the,
me
the
who
Cher
I need
movie
to hate
Mask and how he looks, what he
of.
Looks like today.
And that's always slide like 42 out of 45.
They make yeah. you work for it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, they're just trying to pump you full of ads. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what I don't understand about that is like, what are they selling me? Botched surgeries or like divorce? Right. I don't what's the purpose?
They're selling
is it
you,
other stuff?
They're selling your eyeballs to someone else. That's what they're selling.
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently.
So
my attention.
All those ads that come up on that page that I never look at. So I don't, you know, I don't look at the ads. I want to know what happened to Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt's they're going to have a baby?
I thought we might have just recently clicked on the same clickbait link, but mine was about Jennifer Aniston and another character from Friends that apparently he has been in love with her his whole life, and I thought that one was really interesting and I could not
Please
resist
God,
that
let
one.
It be David Schwimmer. Please let it be David Schwimmer.
Chandler?
No, no,
it's
Ross.
No. Oh, I love
Chandler.
Her. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A real life Ross and Rachel. Mm-hmm. That's what I've been waiting for my whole life.
Well,
you know what's crazy about that? It's part of like a bigger trend. I was just talking to someone about this recently, that like we don't live in one reality anymore. We all live in our own respective realities that is shaped and formed and like in real time adapts to whatever interests we show online.
Yeah. Don't show any interests.
That's
online.
The don't
That's
live.
The
don't go anywhere. Don't do anything. Don't talk to anyone. Cut and you begin.
Click on nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't have conversations with people because then that shapes what comes
oh,
up
this
on
is your FBI
that,
agent.
That really freaks me
your
out.
FBI
well, also,
agent
some
is
people,
listening.
Some there is a theory that our phones are listening to us.
That's, yeah, your FBI.
It's
agent.
Not a theory.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
real.
Our
real.
Phones are listening yeah. to us, and then they serve us ads mm-hmm. or things based on our conversations with other people. And, you know, I hope this is a conspiracy theory. That's,
no.
You don't think so?
That, like, surpassed the theory phase
yeah,
and is now
real.
Into a proven...
I feel like somebody did... I feel like I heard a news story about, you know, some economist experimented on this and his or her results were inconclusive, but they couldn't rule it out.
I mean, you can probably correlate the more you talk about it, the more likely you are to, like, have searches
yeah.
related to it.
Yeah.
But
well,
the
experiment that this person did, as I recall, was they talked about something that they were unlikely to be interested in, but they made sure to talk about it several times a day for a while. Mm. And then they started, you know, paying attention to their search results and seeing, or their the ads yeah. that got served to them and seeing what showed up.
I tried that. I talked about kitchen sinks a lot. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I stuck it out long enough. It didn't work.
You
but
tried it.
You're probably right. There probably is. I tried it. There probably is a correlation between like you don't realize that you have searched it or looked at something like that recently, and then you talk about it, and then it pops up, and you're like, oh my gosh, like they heard me, which I probably have searched it, but the kitchen sink didn't work. So maybe that's how I'll spend my Thanksgiving break.
How many ads do you think are like circulating around of like, check out our new. Kitchen sink.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. There are plenty.
What? You know, maybe we can game this to our advantage. Be like, how to win the lottery. Tell me how to win the lottery. Tell me how to cure cancer.
How not to be a murderer.
How not to be a murderer. Common mistakes murderers make. Asking for a friend.
The friend is me.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't think it's a theory, though. I think it actually
you are
is
a noted
insane.
Conspiracy theorist though Aline.
Look you're it look just because you think everyone's out to get you doesn't mean they're not
yeah
doesn't mm. mean one of them isn't
okay all right hey
when have I been wrong Dave
never
like actually
knowledge.
Right
to my knowledge
you know you need to let these people know that you're serious because they don't know you're not joking
I
am very paranoid but I'm also excellent
yes
at guessing who's after me
yes
so.
Yes What are you dopes whispering about over there?
we just have a required lecture that starts at 1. So we're just determining how late we can be to that, I think.
5 minutes. We can.
All right, well, let's play this.
We can scan in, you know?
Oh, cool.
Let's play this game real quick then. It's called Good News, Bad News. In these bags are medical words. The first two bags contain words that represent terrible illnesses. The second two bags are filled with words that represent breakthrough treatments for those conditions. Working in pairs.
Breakthroughs.
So Aline and Nathan will start off as the doctor, and they will deliver the bad news to Morgan. Okay.
Okay. Which bag do I fish in?
So bags A and B are the condition. Go for that right now.
I don't even have a partner to receive this bad news.
No,
with.
You are.
Wow, I'm all alone. You guys have to be extra.
Go
empathetic.
Ahead. And just pick one from each bag. And then you can compare notes and, you know, and deliver, decide on
just
what.
Just one. That's
one
that's
from fine. Each bag. That's okay. It. You can compare notes on the illness.
Can we redraw?
Or are we not supposed to? Is it to be a thing?
If you don't know what it is, redraw it. They're all things.
Okay.
Or you can look it up.
Redrawing will be faster since these guys have a required lecture.
Okay.
Learn.
And then you can grab some treatment.
Oh, these are the new breakthroughs.
Yes, these are the breakthroughs. Well, one each.
Oh.
I'm good at English. I don't understand.
Wait, this is where they drill holes.
Feeling good about my new diagnosis.
That is correct. You are correct.
Yeah, we just learned about this last week. Okay.
All right.
Man, I've been out of med school for just a couple of years and already they're talking about stuff
that you
I've never heard
of. Well, because
it's more historical.
Yeah,
than
this is like 10,000 BC.
Right.
You're not supposed to.
Oh,
look.
Sorry. Oh.
Anyway, so deliver your diagnosis sensitively to your patient. Allow your patient to ask questions and then discuss the treatment.
All right. How are you doing today?
I'm okay.
All right. Yeah. So is there any part of you that hurts? Oh, shit.
We have the information.
Are you doing old cards?
We have the information. I'm so sorry.
The damn diagnosis.
All right. So there is an epidemic going around. Is your ear hurt at all?
Kind of. Is that a bad thing?
Yeah, because there's this epidemic of tragus infections going around where your ear is just blowing up.
Yeah. So we're going to have to perform a trephination and take a bite. And that's a biopsy. And we're going to send it. Yeah. And I'm going to turn it over to my colleague now.
Could you explain what that means?
So this
I just have an ear infection?
You're
or?
Right. So you do, right. And there's an epidemic going around, so we probably have it too. But trepanation is this new breakthrough to treat this new biopsy. Treat this new tragus.
What's a tragus?
Tragus is like the little part of your ear, right? Oh.
The protuberance, the thing that sticks out over your ear hole?
The little nub?
Do you think I got that because I got my tragus pierced when I was 14?
Probably, and everybody else, and now it's just spreading.
My mom told me not to.
You're patient zero.
Okay. So I'm sure you're probably worried, but there's this new breakthrough in this epidemic, trepanation. And so we're just going to cut holes into your head, and we're just going to let all that bad blood out, Taylor Swift style, let that bad blood out.
Yeah.
We're going to take a biopsy of that bad blood and then we'll be able to fix it right up.
Way to tailor the message to the young generation.
That was good.
I did that on purpose. 100%.
All right. I think that was a sick. You feel okay about that? You feel reassured?
Yeah.
Your holes in your head?
Yeah,
you're fine
I
with
think
that?
As good as I can feel about holes in my head.
I mean, you've already got several. Right. We're not, you know.
From that period. Yeah. Stop getting your ears pierced.
All right, you, Aline, and Morgan, this time you guys can be the doctor.
Okay.
I'm ready for the breakthrough.
I really got to
really
gotta talk to your professors about their 1 p.m. required lectures.
I know.
On
Thanksgiving week, before Thanksgiving.
So, you know, no disrespect to OSAC and the scheduling people, but I think they do it on purpose so that
you
don't
leave town early. Yeah.
Right.
There was a period where this was an epidemic issue.
Right. I understand in the morning, like just to like make sure we're here, but to have it the
first
thing and the last thing.
Got to select another one. Yeah. Let's see it.
Dave wants obedience.
have we talked about this, Morgan? Yes.
Direct
obedience.
Obedience.
I was going to say, let me consult Dr. Google.
It means hard.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
All right. That's fine. All right.
Okay.
All right. How's it going today, Mr. Nathan?
Okay.
Yeah. Have you been putting weird stuff in your mouth lately?
Yeah, I have actually.
Not all patients are as forthcoming as you. No, I have no idea. Nothing goes in my mouth. It's completely ridiculous.
Let me rephrase that. Nothing goes in my mouth. That's completely ridiculous.
All right. Have you ever heard of stomatitis?
No. What is that?
So it's inflammation of the inside of your mouth, the oral mucosa. And it's particularly a hard form of inflammation in your mouth. So it's an exceptional form of stomatitis called a durum stomatitis.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, your mouth is hardening as we speak.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's institute a system of clicks so that we can continue to communicate. And exactly. So click once for no, click twice for yes. Are you familiar with what a surgical excision is? Yes. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to take out the inside of your mouth and we're going to
all of it,
everything, yeah. Just vacuum it all out. And then we're going to implant a new inside of your mouth. Are you okay with that? No. All right. Well, that's too bad.
Wait, a new what? You just said you're going to insert a new
inside of your mouth.
Yeah. A new mucosa in your mouth. Yeah.
Doctor... You don't need to know. We're back with paternal medicine now. Yeah. Don't ask questions.
We're telling you what's wrong.
This is
with
what
you.
We're going to do.
We'll make sure the new inside of your mouth has plenty of telomerase.
Yeah.
Shut
your hard mouth and just accept what we're going to do.
Dr. Morgan, are you comfortable with this treatment plan?
Yeah, absolutely. This is the breakthrough treatment for durum stomatitis. So this is our recommendation for you, Nathan, unfortunately.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. Patient
I think
compliant.
Two clicks for consent.
Yeah. My click is not my consent.
Well, I have to let you go for your 1 o'clock stupid lecture. who's in charge of the, what lecture is this?
This would be Dr. Andy Russo.
Okay.
Talking about our
stem cell poster.
God love Andy Russo. He's a great man. Not real happy with him right now. That is our show. Aline,
taking away
Nathan,
two of our cool guests.
Morgan, thank you for hanging out with me today.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And thank you, listeners, for making us part of your week. If you're new here and you like what you heard today, subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or Spotify, wherever fine podcasts are available, really. Your questions, listeners, are what we live for, because they mean that the show can be about what you want it to be about, and I have to do less work coming up with things to talk about. So send your questions and comments to shortcoats@gmail.com, or you can leave a message at 347-SHORT-CT, and we'll talk about that instead. While your app is open, give us some stars and a review. Let us know if we're doing things right by you. Go to theshortcoat.com/store, pick up some of those stickers, those sweet, sweet stickers. The show is made possible by a generous donation by Carver College of Medicine student government and ongoing support from the Writing and Humanities program. Our opening music is by Dr. Vox, and our closing music is by Capisphere. Talk to you in 1 week.